We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. Glad to be hanging out with you on this, what is kind of a yucky Friday outside. Hopefully you are dry wherever you are, and hopefully you're not having to drive in any of this mess. But glad to have you hanging out with us today. Normally, when Randy and I get locked in this room together, we've got John Chuckery with us, and it's our college football game time show on Saturdays here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game during the college football season. So it's kind of weird to look up and see Randy and not have college football on the TV, I'll be honest. But
kind of miss that, huh?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. But that doesn't mean we can't talk about it, because, Randy, we've had a whole bunch of stuff that has gone on since we were last together, since the end of the season. Certainly the transfers have gone through the roof. Yes. With guys finding a new school.
Not wanting to compete.
Georgia gets ready to get spring practice underway. As you take a look at this roster and the way it is structured and what is coming back, what's the most important thing for Georgia to get done in the spring?
I think the defensive line depth, you know, is one thing that, because they're so young now, because you're starting to get just Kirby's players in there and these young guys that, you know, that were all these, you know, the most overrated thing, these five-star, and they're automatically supposed to be studs and instead of being developed and all that. But I think, as far as you look at on the defensive side of the ball, the cornerback position, you know, they still got to get, you know, they're young, you know, and you lose a guy like a DeAndre Baker, you got to find ways to replace him. You know, Eric Stokes, Tyson Campbell. Tyson Campbell, he was a highly recruited kid the previous year, struggled just like most young kids do, but played better as he got a little bit more comfortable. But they do have the veteran safeties, you know, in LeCount and Reed. They got guys back there that can help these young guys out. But I think that and the pass rush, it got to come from somewhere, Chris. I mean, it got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, if you want to nitpick the problem with that defense last year, if you wanted to find a try to find a fault, it was the inability to get pressure on the quarterback.
They got to get to the quarterback. They got the number one outside rush in, or whatever you want to call it, Nolan Smith. A lot of expectations for him coming in. They got to affect the passer more than they did, probably in the last couple years, Chris. I mean, as good as that defense was with Roquan and LC and those guys, Bellamy.
Well, a lot of that was Roquan going sideline to sideline. Right.
But yeah, they have got to do a better job of consistently pressuring the quarterback.
I want to go to the offensive side for a minute. How comfortable are you? And I ask this question because let's go back, I don't know, God, it feels like forever. This has been the case at Georgia. There's always been that 1-2 punch at running back.
Okay.
Look, we know what DeAndre Swift can do back there.
Stud.
Who's number two?
I think Zamir White is. I think you know, he's a kid that, of course, highly touted. All these things, didn't get a chance to see him last year because of the
injury.
Knee. And everything. And from what you hear in reports coming out of Athens, the knee seems like he's ready to roll. They're still going to slow play it, though. There's no reason to rush him back right now. And I've seen this kid in person. Grown man. You talking about Zion grown man? He looks the part.
Right.
He looks the part of that. And I think he will be that good 1-2 punch. You throw in James Cook, and hopefully they can find ways to get him the ball on the perimeter and things like that. And then you got the guy who is just reliable. And the one guy that brought energy in the Sugar Bowl, Brian Herrien. So you got that four, you know, that room of four, and you'll probably sprinkle somebody else in there. But I think running back-wise, they're going to be fine.
Is there a more – well, it's a wrong question, a wrong way to phrase it, but the hype around seeing Zeus on the field, and I don't mean in a spring game. I mean
– you want to see him, yeah.
Yeah, you want to see him between the hedges in a real game. The anticipation for that is high, as much as it's been for any guy.
Yeah, because you've seen how we've been able to run the football since Kirby's been there, how Georgia has been able – to have two runners that can run the football. You know, you look back, it's been back-to-back season with 2,000-yard rushes on the team. So, yeah, everybody's looking at that part. And he, again, everybody gets caught up in the stars and all that. You want to see what this young man can do.
You and I
have, for the last couple of years, when it came to the Georgia offense, we both looked at the offensive line and said, these guys have to get it done. It's been, that has been the problem. Fix the offensive line.
It's fixed.
It's fixed.
Yeah, it's fixed. It's fixed. You know, Andrew Thomas, I will be shocked if this isn't his last year at Georgia. I think he's a lock first-round pick at that left tackle position. Solomon Kinley, another big guy that can move people. Trey Hill, will he be the full-time center right now? They brought in the kid Clay Webb from Alabama to play center also. You got Big Ben Cleveland. And then Isaiah Wilson, you look at that right side of the line. I mean, that's a lot of man meat over there, man. I mean, that's a lot.
That's a couple of graders.
Did I say man meat? Yeah, I did.
you did.
You know, that's a lot of big guys on that side of the football right there. So, I mean, what do we know about what happened with Coach Rick? They didn't have any first-round linemen. Only first-round linemen since Isaiah Wilson was my man, Big George Foster. And he was a Madonna recruit. So, you're talking about that long to get a legitimate first-round offensive lineman. And right now, I know Andrew Thomas is going to be one. But you might have two or three that's up there right now that, you know, in the next couple of years might be that. And we know in the SEC, how do you win most games? In the trenches.
In the trenches.
You win them in the trenches.
In the trenches. Terry Godwin was a guy that, in talking with a couple of NFL scouts and people that follow the NFL draft, on Saturdays, Harper and I have been kind of deep diving into the draft the last couple of weeks and in preparation after the combine. Terry Godwin is a guy that continues. A lot of people bring up and say, hey, there's a spot for that guy in the NFL. You know, we know Riley Ridley's going to get an opportunity somewhere as well. We talked yesterday about Mecole Hardman. What does the rest of that receiving core look like now that those guys are out of the picture?
Well, you know, if you had those guys, and now you're at a point where Holloman, he had a rapport with Jake Fromm, and you hate losing a Ridley, and a guy that I'm excited about because he went to the same high school as me. I knew I went to school with his mother, Chris Jackson. He's a highly recruited guy to Peach County, more of a slot guy, fits the Terry Godwin mold, but he was hurt a lot, nicked up, so he's getting his opportunity to excel this year. Tight end play, losing Nada, what does that bring? Who's going to step up? You know, I was asking you about the kid, Eli Wolf, that transferred
Tennessee.
From Tennessee. You were saying how he's an athletic guy that can catch the football. With all that being said, and going out to get these, you know, these five-star recruits and all this stuff, are they going to let Jake Fromm use them? Are they going to throw the ball more? Is Coley going to be able to open up this offense more? Because we know what Kirby wants to do, and just because I say that, and you get all these five-star receivers and everything, Kirby ain't going away from what he is. You know, he's gonna run the football, and at some point he can be a lot stubborn like his boss was those years. But he was winning championships with that motto, and then as the game kind of went to more spread in this conference, he went and adjusted to that. Now you see Alabama using more of the spread, even though they're a run-based offense. So we'll see how it goes that year. But I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by the weapons. They're just young. And how do you get a young player ready? You got to let them play.
Right.
You got to let them play.
Right. Chris and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk a little bit of Georgia football. Spring practice getting underway across the SEC. Spring games coming up, less than a month away. I think the first spring games around the conference start in April, early April. Georgia's spring game will be April 20th.
Yes.
And we'll have college football
we'll
game time
there.
For you. We'll be out in Athens for that. How do you turn the page from the Sugar Bowl and what that leaves?
Definitely. I hope that, you know, Kirby has put that videotape on in the weight room and in the indoor facility and leave it on loop and show that when you're worried about something that you can't control, this is what happened to you. You get kicked in the teeth by Texas. That's exactly what happened. You got kicked in the teeth because you took it for granted. And I will give Texas all the credit. They were ready to play, and they came and they just took it, and I mean brought it to Georgia. And another receiver is Demetrius Robinson. Is he more comfortable now? Because you're talking about a kid who is as explosive as it is, couldn't get on the football field. Can he step up and help these guys out this year also?
How different is it now? And look, I know Kirby Smart's going to tell us, well, you know, it's competition at every position. Jake Fromm's your quarterback now.
He was your quarterback last year.
You know, that debate, that conversation will not happen this year.
No.
It's Jake Fromm. Is that different for him now going into this year than last year, you think?
No, I think Jake always knew. If you're ever around Jake has an aura and a confidence about him that makes you follow him. And I saw that when he came on campus, even though Jacob Eason was the quarterback, starting quarterback at that time, you had a feeling when you're around him and around the guys when they're around him that that's our general right there. I mean, you felt that when you were up there around him then. These guys ain't losing no confidence, and he sure didn't lose any. I mean, he's so right. confident, and he has that swagger because he has done things at Georgia that we haven't been accustomed to, you know, getting back-to-back SEC championships, getting a chance to play for a national championship. And when you look at it, I mean, outside of Tua, I think he's the second-best quarterback in this conference. And do I say he's maybe a top five in the entire country? If you look at Tua, you look at my man Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Who else you going? Herbert? Are you going with Herbert because of the pro style, or are you going by the college style?
Well, I think if you're talking about college
quarterbacks. Yes, I'm talking about college quarterbacks.
You've got to look at it as a college quarterback.
Yeah, that's what you look at right. as a college quarterback. So would you put him somewhere in that top five?
As a college quarterback? Oh, gosh. Boy, I'd have to.
And I know there'd be some pushback to it. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, if he's not there, he's on the cusp.
He's on the cusp. Because, right. I mean, the only ones I can think off the top of my head is Lawrence and Tua right now that you might.
Kind of a transitional year in the SEC for quarterbacks.
And you remember before this little run of good quarterbacks, it was, you know, quarterbacks in the SEC. That was the one weak part about the about the conference was
a bunch
the quarterback
of game
play.
Managers.
Yeah, now you got these guys that can win football games for you.
The only thing that's left for Georgia is to win the big
that's
one.
That's it.
Right?
That's
I
it.
Mean, that's it. That's the only thing. One win, pretty much one win over Alabama is it.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. Again, like you said, what is left to win one? And of course, I'm always going to, you know, root for my dogs or whatever, but I'm a UGA homer, but I know that we haven't proven anything, so I can't really walk around my chest out. I can't walk around my chest out because we don't want recruiting titles. Oh, yeah, you see us recruiting? Okay.
Yeah, those championships in February,
put banners up in the butt smear. They don't put banners in the butt smear. We don't have parades in Athens because of recruiting. No, let's go get us one. Why not?
A couple other notes from around college football. UCF started their spring practice on Monday. Brandon Wimbush, remember him? Former Notre Dame quarterback. He is expected to take over as the starting quarterback at UCF.
What was the quarterback that was at Notre Dame that went to Florida? What was his name?
Oh, my gosh.
The left-handed kid.
Zaire,
yeah. Can you see like a similar situation to that? I think I can.
Yeah,
I think I can.
Yeah,
And hopefully it does happen. You know, I always want these young men to do well. But no, I don't see it happening. I mean, you could have gave it somebody else, but I mean, what was his limitations at Notre Dame? Why he got replaced by Ian Book? It was that he couldn't you know, execute the passing game the way it needed to be. Right or wrong.
Yeah, no, it was purely 100% the lack of a passing game that had saddled their offense or burdened their offense, and that's the reason why he elected to make the move that he did.
Exactly. And I'm not mad at him, but no. I mean, I'm sure. And hope again, Coach Heupel, I mean, I'm sure that he knows who he's doing. I mean, even though I always look at it as he inherited players, but we'll see.
Urban Meyer joining Fox to be a studio host.
How long before, you know, if Brian Kelly decides to leave Notre Dame, is he going to be like, yeah, I'm feeling a little better? I think that's the only job that Urban wants, is that right? Is that Notre Dame job. So Brian Kelly comes like, you know what? Woo, I'm a little tired. I think it's time to go hang out with the kids. Urban's coming. You know he's coming for that job, 100%.
You don't think if Taggart struggles, they have to approach Urban?
I mean –
Oh, that's got to be their first call.
It's Florida State, so yeah, wide net.
What do you mean if Taggart struggles?
Well, you know,
when
better for the doubt.
It's look with that guy. It's just a matter of when.
They got Hornibrook, man. What are you talking about?
Come on. Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
They got Hornibrook. What are you talking about? They got Cam Akers down there still.
They found an offensive line.
No, they ain't found that yet. No, that's the last thing they found. But I mean, to Abe's point. I mean, when you look talking about Florida State, if this – and I hate saying if it does not work out, they're going to cast a wide net because it's hard for me to believe that Willie's going to get another opportunity after this year. If they struggle the way they did, Willie might be gone.
Is 8 wins enough?
No.
Is 9 wins enough?
Yes.
For Willie Taggart.
I think nine might be enough.
I think nine might be enough.
Eight, I don't think so.
But it's not about the record right now. You got to see the progress. That was the issue.
I'll get you there. I got you right there.
So if it's nine wins and they're ugly, or if
they struggle to nine wins, if they're beating Boston College and Pitt by field goals.
6-3, yeah.
Yeah, he's still going to be gone. But, I mean, if their losses are Florida, who may be a top 15 team, Clemson, who we know is going to be the one or two at some point in the season, maybe a weird Thursday night loss, Virginia Tech, who could be ranked, something like that.
Right.
If you can explain three or four losses, sure. But it can't be a loss to NC State, Wake, Pitt, Boston College, that sort of stuff.
It is it's an interesting time in Tallahassee because the heat is on.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, Chris, I was one of those guys. I thought Taggart would have been a great. I thought it was a good hire.
I did too. I thought both agreed.
I mean, you both thought it was a good hire for them when they went out and got Willie Taggart. And you know that first year, you just saw it, the development and all that. It just wasn't there. It really wasn't.
Atlanta soccer fans, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon until 2 next Saturday. That's 1 week from tomorrow. For a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer players, Michael Parkhurst will be there. Also, you can meet Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. They'll be there broadcasting live. All things Atlanta soccer. Stop by. Chance to win some cool prizes, including an autographed Michael Parkhurst jersey. Check that out. Yesterday, Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Hawks, spent a few minutes with us. We'll revisit a little bit of that. We'll talk some Hawks basketball. They're off today. Back in action tomorrow in Boston against the Celtics. We'll dig into it next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. This portion of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Warm weather's coming, I promise. I promise it's coming. This is the time you get that done. It's another way they make you smile from R.S. Andrews. We had Lloyd Pierce on with us yesterday, the coach of the Hawks. It was good to be able to hang out and talk with Coach a little bit yesterday, Randy, because this has been, as somebody who I probably watch at least a bit of probably three quarters of the Hawks, especially once college football starts to wind down.
Right.
And we get, you know, once we get into kind of the bowl season, I tend to, you know, around December, I'll start to focus in a little bit on the Hawks. And then by the time we get into January and February, I'm pretty, I like to stay pretty dialed in terms of watching the Hawks. This team has been the most fun to watch in the last 2 to 3 years.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Because you got exciting players. You have a player in Trae Young who has some flash to him, has some flair to him. And we were talking about it yesterday, Chris, a young man who now, even though as great as John Collins has played this year, it's all about this young man, Trae Young. And when you're talking about he's starting to get some notice on national TV, the sports shows and everything, it's all about Trae Young. And then you see the Hawks in there. But they've been a lot more fun, and you didn't know what to expect when they drafted him. You knew what he did at Oklahoma because he was all they had.
The question was, how did that game translate to the NBA?
And now you see, I mean, it's transferring pretty well. Now the thing, we were talking about football when I said this. It's all about the growth from year one to year two. All right, when you have those expectations, when these grown men that you've been playing against as a rookie know, hey, if I don't get up on this dude, he's gonna embarrass me tonight. And how does he handle that? But, yeah, it's been a fun year. I mean, they're the number one scoring team since the All-Star break at 123 points a game. And, you know, it's just not those two guys. We talked to Coach about Kevin Herter. And you can hear in his voice the enjoyment he gets of coaching that young man and the potential where he sees this young man can go.
Yeah, there's still a lot of room for both of those guys to develop. Trae Young is already an elite passer in the NBA. It's his scoring that gets all the attention and all the, you know, that's what gets you on SportsCenter.
Right.
But his ability to pass the ball.
His vision is unbelievable.
Yeah. As you and I talked about yesterday, his ability to come into a crowd, draw a crowd, and then kick.
Yes.
Oh, I mean,
he real,
it's as good as anybody.
He real slither with his start and stop that he has with the with when he has the dribble going. But dude, they're fun to watch. And now we kept saying and we kept hearing this is going to be a 2 to 3 year type process. And then you hear Travis Schlenk come out and say we're going to speed it up now because you see you got two building blocks right now and some other guys. So do you try and do you dip your toe into a little free? Do you try and find? I ain't talking about going to get Kevin Durant or Kawhi or you know, trying to go get one of these big fish because we doubt they're going to come here. But some middle-range guys, do you go in there and you start trying to get some of those guys? And then instead of, you know, seeing where we go and trying to get back in the lottery, you try to compete for an all-star spot in the East next year.
The good thing about the Hawks, or if you're a Hawks fan, there seems to be a very clear plan for the future. There seems to be
a vision. You see the vision.
You start see to see now where we're headed and what this thing will look like. We had Coach Lloyd Pierce join us yesterday on the WadeFord.com hotline, and we talked about several things. Not going to bring you the whole interview, but did want to give you a little bit of a portion of it in case you missed it yesterday. Here is Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce.
The young guys were going to get a little bit more minutes as the season progressed. What have you seen from that as these young fellas are playing past the time that last year maybe they were in college?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a funny deal. The young guys are pretty much the entire team, so
right.
Everybody's getting more minutes. You know, we lose Jeremy Lin, and we bring up Jalen Adams, who was our two-way player, and we convert him into a 15-man roster guy, and it's great to see him play 16 to 20 minutes per game. Trey's minutes have gone up about 4 minutes since the All-Star break. So it's good because these are the guys that are part of our future, and it's important for us to not only get them minutes and exposure, but give them opportunities to gel and create that chemistry on the court. So that's really, you know, for us to finish the season, that's what we're really looking at is can these guys create more chemistry before the season ends.
You mentioned the 35 assists and the 12 turnovers last night, only 3 turnovers in the first half. You guys have kind of cleaned that up from where you were earlier in the year. There was some issues with turnovers. What's been different for you guys these last couple of weeks?
I think it's a follow-up to what, you know, I was alluding to earlier, just the chemistry. You play on the court, and we're close to 70 games in the season now, and, you know, we understand John likes lobs, so we're not throwing them bounce passes. And we like, you know, we know how to find guys where they want the basketball, and there's no miscommunication on some of the plays that you have in November and December. So, you know, I think it just takes time. And you look at the start of the season, everyone plays sloppy basketball. And you're coming out of the summer, you're trying to build that chemistry back up. Some teams get it quickly. Young teams, it normally takes a while, but it definitely changes the way we play and the ability for us to score. We're leading the NBA in scoring since the All-Star break, and it's no surprise that the reason is we're not turning the ball over as much.
How have you grown so far this season, this being your first head coaching job?
I don't know if I have.
Really?
I feel like I'm still dealing with some of the same. You know, it's such a difficult, fun, exciting journey of, you know, managing minutes, managing opportunities, trying to keep guys happy, trying to challenge guys to be better and what better actually means. But no, I think if you can get the buy-in, it makes the job easy. And I think the buy-in of what we try to sell with our guys is we want this to be a fun team. We want this to be about empowerment. We want to be able to grow every player. If you're playing 15 minutes, I want to maximize your 15 minutes. If you're playing 30 and 35 minutes, I want to give you the opportunity to play with freedom. You're not looking over your shoulder whether or not that's a good shot or a bad shot. You're still being coached with intensity, and I'm not singling out guys. I'm singling out effort. And so that growth process, it puts you in those positions of when to do it, when to go really hard, when to back away. You know, those are the things you have to learn on the fly, and you have to have a feel for your team and the temperament of your team and know how and when to do it.
Early in your coaching career now, what has it meant to have a veteran that has been through the wars like Vince Carter with you, not only on the floor, but just his presence, such a character guy to have in your locker room?
Well, you guys get to see Vince Carter, half man, half amazing. Vince Carter to me is assistant coach Vince Carter because he's just as valuable with the nuances of the game. with the coaches as he is with the players. You know, you can't tell Vince no. You have to listen to what he has to offer, because 21 years in the NBA, he's seen and done everything. And it's really important to have a guy with that wealth of knowledge on the floor, in the locker room, in the timeouts, just sharing that information. And you can't substitute it. When you have young players, you know, some things they take from us coaches, and some things you expect they're not going to take. They're just going to learn. With Vince, you got to respect and listen to what Vince has to say. And so I appreciate having him around every day.
Coach, this young team, you know, Trey's going to get a lot of the attention along with John Collins, but a guy who probably isn't known nationally, Kevin Huerter, who's been playing some good ball since he's been healthy and everything. And could you assess how far he's come since he's been getting more minutes throughout the season?
Yeah, you know, I think the future is really bright for Kevin Huerter. He's just different. He's 6'7". He can pass the basketball. He's shooting close to 40% from three. And I've seen people put some of their best defenders on him, and that's really when he plays at his best. You know, he's a cool, confident young man that is just starting to figure this out. So I'm excited about his growth. It's been fun to see. It's been fun to give him an expanded opportunity as the season has progressed, because we see that we've got a special player in Kevin Huerter.
That's Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce, who was with Randy and I yesterday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and some interesting comments from him yesterday, Randy. And I want to put it out on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can text us at 404-741-0929. Again, 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. The job that he has done, are you pleased with what you've seen from Lloyd Pierce in year one with the Hawks?
Well, we knew what kind of year it was going to be for the Hawks. You know, a lot of young players rebuilding, and we knew it was going to be a struggle for them. And, you know, we have fun with it as far as play well but lose, so you can get, you know, better chances to get the number one pick in the lottery and all that. But I've been pleased with it. I think when you heard about them hiring Lloyd Pierce, I'm sorry, and when some of the attributes they were talking about was the fact that he works well with young players and he helps develop and all those things.
I think we've seen that.
So we've seen we've seen these guys develop, because you even said it, Chris, beginning of the season, it was rough. It was ugly.
Oh, yeah.
It was ugly.
And you wondered whether or not the move to take Trae Young was the right move.
Because Luka was playing so well and all those things. And now it just seems like, you know, I'm not one of those people that every time Trae plays well, I got to go out and try and bash everybody that doubted him or nothing like that. But the young man is playing better than he played back then. And then John Collins is showing you why a lot of people, including myself, think that he's going to be a multiple all-star type guy. I mean, he has a lot of the tools that you need to succeed in this wide-open spread game nowadays. I think Coach Pierce has done a great job. I really do. And it's, to me, I think the one thing that – and we were talking about about LSU and the players playing for the coach, these guys play hard for him. They play hard for him, and I mean, I can't complain about the job he's done.
No, I can't either. And I think they went out and signed some guys that have upside. Okay, now with Vince Carter, that's not necessarily the case at this point in his career. But I don't feel like there is a better guy you could have in the locker room, on the plane, and you heard what Coach Pierce said about him as Vince Carter, the assistant coach.
Right.
I just think that's if you're going to go out and get a veteran and bring him in, that's the kind of guy that you want to go get. I hope he stays another year. I think his presence on this young basketball team cannot be overlooked. But look at what he's done with a guy like Alex Len, who's
playing well, been balling.
Yeah, I mean, they have turned him into a legitimate NBA player.
He's been balling.
Speaking of legitimate, Ronald Acuna is legitimate. He's having a heck of a spring, but are we overreacting a little bit by what we're seeing in the spring from the Braves and from Ronald Acuna? We'll get into that next. We'll talk some Braves baseball. Braves back on the field today, 1 o'clock against the Marlins down in spring training. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. This segment brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org. We are less than 2 weeks away now from the Braves season opener. It was 2 weeks from yesterday The Braves will open up the season, was that the 28th of March in Philly?
In Philly.
Braves having a pretty good spring. Ronald Acuña having a fantastic spring. He has been on this ridiculous tear where he's gone 8-for-8 in his last 9 plate appearances. He's hit a couple of home runs. Last game that he played, he finished a home run shy of hitting for the cycle. So, how much do you put into spring training statistics, Randy?
No, just like it's like preseason.
The NFL, you don't
like
even
NFL preseason,
doesn't
right?
matter.
No,
doesn't matter.
No,
because you also have to remember how many of these guys that Acuña has hit his 3 home runs off of. How many of those guys are going to be pitching in the South Atlantic League in about 3 weeks?
A lot of them, yeah. But no, I never have paid attention. Now, it's good to see because here's the thing, Chris: if they did bad, you'd be worried. But because they do good, we all say it's just preseason. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's usually how preseason football goes. They play bad, you're like, oh, he stinks. But he plays good. Oh, it's just preseason. I think that has a lot to do. If he was slumping, then you'd be more concerned about that than you would him playing as well as he is. But, I mean, dude's a stud. I mean, this is – I know you don't want to say – you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself or like our man John Fricke always does, get over his skis. You don't want to do that. But, I mean, this guy, this young man looks like he has the goods. He has the goods, man. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing we have going with Acuña this year is he going to bat first or is he going to bat fourth? I saw the lineup for spring training today. I got it right here written down. He's batting at the cleanup spot right now in today's game. So, it'll be Ozzy. It'll be Josh Donaldson, Freddie, Acuña, Marquez. You know, that'll be your first 5.
And I think if they elect not to bat him leadoff, that's probably what it will look like.
Yeah, he's going to bat cleanup or he's going to lead off.
He's going to lead off. Yeah. And if he doesn't lead off, I think we'll probably see Ozzy Albies in that one spot rather than Ender and Ciarte.
You think you'll see Albies instead of Ender?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I mean, that's the first I've heard somebody say of Ozzy being the leadoff. But what did Freaky said that you would put – who did he say he would put Acuña at the lead and put – he would put Ender at the ninth spot.
Yeah, and bat the pitcher 8th.
Bat the pitcher 8th, yeah. So who knows? I think that's one of the things that Schtick he's not stressing about too much, though. I mean, this is a very gifted lineup that he has right here as far as talking about hitting the baseball.
Again, depending on how you structure this lineup, the top half of it has a chance to be
– special.
They got a chance to be special. That's a good word. They got a chance to be special. And the Braves have an opportunity in the outfield right now. Look, in the last game, the last spring training game, they lost to the Nationals. But the outfield, you had Austin Riley, who has now played some time at third.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he's played a game or two at first. Now he's doing some in the outfield. They had Austin Riley in left. They had Acuña in center. And they put Camargo in right field.
I like it.
I do too. And then you've still got a guy in Christian Pache who we asked Brian Jordan about yesterday who has been hitting a ton.
He's been phenomenal.
Through the spring. Now, I think most folks that follow the Braves feel like he's a guy that you're probably going to see go to AAA to at least begin the season, but the same thing with Austin Riley. Those are two guys that at some point in time you've got to figure out, is there a spot for them on the big league club? And if not, what can you flip them for?
Well, here's the thing with Riley. I think you can catch a nice haul for him, but I think that depends on if you find something with Josh Johnson at third, because from all we've been told, Austin Riley's third baseman of the future.
Right.
I mean, we've been sold that bill of goods that he's the future third baseman of this team. Then why do you go out and get a Donaldson? Why wasn't – well, he got injured last year when we thought that he was about to come up and hurt his knee or whatever. But then you see how Camargo held it down at third base for us. Now, the outfield part, I mean, we talked about it. I like how that outfield sounds, but you got to have Ender. I mean, Ender is just – too good of a player keep him out of that outfield.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I agree. There's a spot for him. There's a spot for him, definitely. But, I could see this outfield going against left-handers.
Okay. But when you talk about – I'm going to go back to Austin Riley. Are you trying to make him into an outfielder now?
Well, here's what I think, all right? And this is – I'm going to put my GM hat on. I think the Braves understand – this kid's special.
Yeah.
His bat is special, so we need to find a place for him. We've got options now at third base with both Donaldson and Camargo, and there's Austin Riley. So let's see if we bring him up at some point in time, because I think if he starts out at AAA and we get to late May and he early June and he's tearing it up.
He's coming up.
You're going to have to bring him up. So, okay, well, can we get him a couple of games over at first in relief of Freddie? Can we play him a little bit at third? And maybe when we go up against an American League team and Donaldson DH. Becomes your DH, yeah. Then you'd put Riley in at third. And then when he's not there, can he – look, Nick Markakis isn't going to play 162 games
this
year.
And
so now you've got a spot in the outfield where you can
and
put
that,
him.
And that was the point I was going to make with Austin Riley is he going to be like, you know, the first guy off the bench if Markakis does sit down? You know, who – that's where you would see if he's not going to come up to the bigs and be an immediate starter out in the field, who's he going to be the first alternate for? Because that's why I think – not first alternate, but the first sub for. Because that's why I think you need to look at him on the corners and out there with Markakis.
Yep.
Because, you know, you already know who your guy is, you know, in shortstop and in second base. You're going to put Johan Camargo. That's your first guy off the bench for those two positions. Is he going to be the first guy off the bench for those two? Or do you go with Camargo if Donaldson's down?
Yeah.
You know, like, where do you where do you place importance of having him at third base?
That's the other – I think the other benefit to Austin Riley is what if Josh Donaldson – look, he's one knee sprain away from being gone for 4 weeks, 6 weeks.
Now, who's going to be – do you put Camargo or do you do like they tried to do last year at the beginning, rotating the third base, you know, the reps or the snaps or the games, whatever you want to call it. What do you do then if he's down? Are you automatically going to Camargo, or are you going to give Austin Riley a shot?
I think you got to give Austin Riley a shot. That's what I
want to see. As good as Camargo played last year.
Yeah, and look, there's still a place for Camargo.
You got to have guys like that on your spot. And I know a lot of people now are talking about, hey, let him go ahead and be the everyday shortstop. Kick Dale Dancy to kick rocks. I mean, because how well he played at third base last year. I don't think he's a better defensive shortstop than Dansby. But he ain't garbage at it.
No.
You know?
No, not at all.
You can win with him there, can't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, I think what the Braves are trying to do with a lot of these young guys, and we see it with Camargo, and I think we're starting to see it with Austin Riley, is give me a guy that I can move around. We can use your bat. We just need you to be versatile so we can find you the at-bats to get you in games. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
I mean, you need that big bat, man. I mean, he's not – they're not talking about – when you talk about Oscar, they're not talking about his fielding.
Yeah.
They're talking about that stick. They're talking about that big bat that he carries.
That's right. So, I think you feel like I feel. I'm not too worried about the Braves and the ability to score runs this year.
No, not at all. I'm worried about them stopping.
I'm not even necessarily worried, you know, defensively about how this club is. I think the outfield defensively,
they're good. They're good to go. They're good to go. We all know, and what's the phrase? Beating a dead horse. We all know what's going to hold the Braves back.
It's that pitching.
It's that pitching. We all know that. You know, I mean, I don't think there's anybody outside of, you know, being a Braves fan that cannot deny that the one thing that can hold this squad back are those arms. But, I mean, that's the case in a lot of places, though. It's not here in Atlanta.
It is. I guess at least you've got options.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out who's the guy. You got to figure out who can do, who can go, and who can't.
Yeah, we got plenty of options up there in Gwinnett. You're staying up there.
We'll get to we'll take a look at some headlines today. A lot of big stories. We'll circle back around to the Georgia Tech story. If you haven't heard that yet, Zion Williamson last night was fantastic. All of that still to come. We'll also talk a little NFL draft and the Falcons with Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. That's coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now. Hang on. Back with more Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.